For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Well, hello and welcome into a Tuesday afternoon here on Colombo and Katie on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. I am Tony Colombo. However, if you are watching on the cameras, you will see that in studio with me is not Katie Fitzpatrick. Katie is out today taking care of a little baby business and will be back tomorrow. So the great Joey V.
Hey.
Is here with me today. Great to see you, buddy.
Great to see you, my favorite amateur meteorologist.
Is that me?
Yeah, of course. You'll treat Steve Templeton with a little bit more respect now that you have botched the ice capades of Sunday night.
I did. I truly did. And man, it had a whole lot of, it created a little bit of
anger.
A little bit of a rumble. A little bit of a rumble on Rumble. A little bit of a roar on Twitter. At Tony Colombo Talk is my Twitter handle. And if you follow me, you saw it. And
pile on if you'd like.
If you don't know what we're talking about, go back and check out the podcast from yesterday's show, because Katie and I talked about it right at the beginning of the show yesterday, right about this time yesterday. Katie and I talked about how I didn't know why they were canceling schools and made that statement on Twitter and then just got obliterated.
Obliterated.
Yes, but it was fun. I'm not like complaining. It was all in good fun, and it was pretty funny, and I thought the reaction was really, really funny. And had a great conversation about that yesterday. So you should be subscribed to the podcast anyway. So if you're not, this is a perfect reason to go and do that. Check out yesterday's show and make sure you're subscribed to the Colombo and Katie show on your favorite podcast platform. We're on all of them. Podcast, Apple, Amazon, Google, and many, many more. Whatever your favorite one is, I'm sure we're there. So just please subscribe to the Colombo and Katie podcast. I mentioned the cameras. That means, of course, we are live streaming as well. We are live on the Colombo and Katie YouTube channel, also the News Talk STL Rumble channel, and the News Talk STL Facebook page. So you can watch the show every day on all of those platforms as well. So Katie is out today, but that doesn't mean that it's not freaking Tuesday. And Tuesdays mean only one thing. The great Crane Durham from NothingButTruth.com is with us. And Crane, brothers don't shake hands. Brothers got a hug. How are you, my friend?
Brothers got a hug.
That's exactly
definitely
right. How are you?
And I'm doing well. I think it's interesting to see how people restraint, you know, not piling on. It seems if somebody makes a mistake these days, they lose their livelihood.
Oh, dude, this was so I don't want to get in. I don't want to tell the whole story again, but yeah. the Cliff Notes version is we got the call late on Sunday night that Monday's school was going to be canceled. And we had been out. We had actually been out pretty late that Sunday night, just shopping and doing, you know, a few things for the house. And so we were out until probably 8 o'clock or so. And then I at like 10:30 walked the trash can to the curb, and there was nothing around us anywhere. And it was at about 10 o'clock or so that we got this text and call from the school district that schools were canceled. And so my wife was baffled and dumbfounded. I was baffled. My kids were baffled. Like they were celebrating. And I went on Twitter and I said something about it. Like, hey, I'm all for erring on the side of caution, but like, it's going to be cold tomorrow is not a good enough reason. Well, at the time, there was ice apparently falling in other parts of the St. Louis area, and there was major accidents and traffic jams and everything that were causing a big problem on the highways. I had no idea because it was not around me. And my joke yesterday was, you know, I have a pretty large Twitter following, which I am extremely grateful for and really appreciate all the people that follow and listen, of course. And usually I only post like very positive things. I post pictures of my kids, you know, doing their gymnastics, or, you know, my daughter playing in the orchestra, or, you know, I promote the show and things like that. I don't usually get, I'm not usually the social media like snark guy, but I got a little snarky with this, what I thought was kind of a funny little comment. And on a typical tweet, I don't usually get replies. I get a lot of likes and a lot of views and impressions and things like that, but I don't get a lot of like replies because I'm usually just like posting pictures of my kids. So people like the picture. They don't say anything. So I'm used to getting like just a couple of replies. I got dog within minutes. I'm like, my phone's going bing, 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 bing. And I'm like, what is going on here? Like, why is my Twitter going crazy? And people are like, you know, if you would have just opened your front door, you wouldn't have been so stupid to send this text. Or this tweet. So it's so funny. Like, you make them, it's, like, you post positive stuff. You know, yes. And it's crickets. You post something that people can tear apart, and it's like, get them. But again, I'm not complaining. I thought it was really funny, and it was just, but yeah, that was it. You're so right. Like, the negative, unfortunately, I guess, you know, if you want to extrapolate out from the story, unfortunately, it is kind of a microcosm of, it's always the gotcha moments or the opportunity to go attack somebody that draws more attention on social media, which then all in turn, you know, makes people want to be controversial because they know that that's how they'll get attention. And I think that's kind of maybe why it gets to be a bit of a cesspool in the social media sphere so often.
Yeah, and not that these are, you know, contradictory, but the idea of character versus controversial. Being controversial, and the idea that, okay, well, maybe I won't get the zinger, but when it comes to the issues of today, a zinger is not actually solving the problem. It's just going back and forth with snarky remarks.
Yeah, trying to look the best. Yeah. Who can look the best? Yeah. That's absolutely what it's all about. Mm-hmm. So, got lots to talk about. Crane's going to be with us for most of the 2 o'clock hour here, so we will get to as much as we possibly can. Haven't talked to you, buddy, since the body cam footage was released from the Paul Pelosi incident. It really does. This story just is absolutely, speaking of baffled, like being baffled, like, the reporting at the beginning was so goofy that it made everybody sort of start, you know, trying to connect the dots and make up their own story because, you know, like, we're reading police reports that say things like the literal police report said that Paul Pelosi greeted the officers at the door. Like, you know, like, you know, like, that doesn't sound like an emergency situation. And they were so weird about, like, canceling the stories and not being really forthcoming with what happened that, you know, people started making all of these, you know, stories up in their own, you know, just coming up trying to figure out what happened. And then we see this body cam footage, and this guy's, you know, violently breaking into the house. That was, that swing of that hammer was, that was, he was swinging to kill. I mean, that was a, he was swinging to do damage. So, like, if we would have just known a little bit of this all along, or if, like, if it would have been a little more accurate reporting or even more accurate from the police report, I think we would have saved everybody so much speculation and all these wild stories that developed of it. I just, the whole thing to me is just so strange. What are your thoughts after seeing the body cam footage?
Well, as you said, it certainly, we could have communicated that, and I'm not saying we in the sense of me personally or you personally, but the idea that somebody could have communicated that so much more clear and could have put it in a box where people understood it rather than ask more questions. And that's the unfortunate part, because when they don't do that, now we think it's something sinister, something nefarious that they're hiding from us. But not because they have no credibility, because it is such a divide in our society when we look at things. And so the media has no credibility. So if they get it wrong or they pull a story and they don't communicate clearly, then people are going, okay, what's this? What's this? Mm-hmm. What's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
And it speaks to a real problem in really the breaking of the fabric of society that we're dealing with right now. There's a divide in America, and there is also not only a divide, but there is losing faith in the institutions of what we have, including the Fourth Estate. So, Yeah, we have a problem. We are a crisis.
Yeah, yeah, I couldn't agree more. It's always we always kind of spend these first few minutes because we only talk Crane once a week these days, and so it's like the first we should call the beginning of it catching up with Crane because there's other breaking news, but just to catch up on everything that is happening, we found out earlier today that the FBI apparently tore through their words. The Penn Center, the Biden Center at Penn University, where the first set of classified documents were. So the FBI has released the information that they, in November, whenever these documents were first discovered, before, obviously, long before it was made public, that they went through and kind of ripped that place apart looking for, you know, other classified mm-hmm. documents and making sure that they weren't there. So that's kind of the latest on that story. Where are you at currently? Because there's so many layers to this onion when it comes to the classified documents. And what at first was being compared to the Trump situation is kind of an apples to apples situation has turned out to not be an apples to apples situation because he wasn't president. He was vice president. He was senator, which is a whole nother problem with him getting those, mm-hmm. Documents out. And you know, and they keep finding them in multiple areas. So, what's your where are you at currently on the classified documents?
It's certainly, for lack of a better term, sloppy. And then you look at potential connections of the Biden family profiting from our president's and once vice president's connections. And you start to say, wait a second, what's going on here? And then you realize that before the election, they spiked the story.
Yeah.
And it all comes together. See where this is going is the idea that we're not getting the full story. There's two standards of justice, one for conservatives and then one for the people that embrace and drink the Kool-Aid. Mm-hmm. And so it's a big, big problem. I'm concerned about it. I wish we had a press corps that would just cover the issues. And they got on this so quickly when they thought it was just Trump.
Yeah.
They were just like, you know, rabid. And oh, yeah, we're going to dig in. And it could have been nuclear codes and everything. And now we go to
their own
other
grave.
Thing. Yes. Faster and faster. And so I don't think it's good that we have a president who doesn't know where things are. And I don't think it's good that we have a press that will hold back on a story until it's politically advantageous to release the information or an administration for that matter. And so that is concerning. I'm concerned, too, because I don't know if Biden is all there to actually explain it. I actually had a dream about Joe Biden. It's freaking me out, man. It's the idea that this guy is not all there, and he's the president of the United States, and that's deeply concerning.
Oh, and you know what? And it was on full display again yesterday. Did you see that the president, once again, in front of people, told the Angelo Amtrak story? That has been.
He
told it again. He did it again in front of people.
He said his son died in Iraq.
Oh, I've got. Listen, I am working on a list. I am working on a list that is immaculate. That is, I wish I had it ready for today. I didn't know he was going to do. I didn't know he was going to tell the Angelo story again. Which is one of the many things on this list. I'm working on this list of all of the lies that he has said. Like, you know,
bring back corn pop.
Yeah, being a truck driver, growing up in Puerto Rico, being raised by Puerto Ricans. You know, being arrested in the civil rights movement and walking 7,000 miles through the mountains with Xi Jinping, like all of these like incredible deals. But yesterday he told that freaking Angelo Amtrak story, which if you remember, like, so just a quick reminder, the original story that he told, and he's told this story many, many times. The original story he told was that he commuted every day on the Amtrak, like 280 miles or something like that. Mm-hmm. And which who knows if that was true either. But he talked about how he commuted every day and how he got to be really good friends with all of the conductors on Amtrak. He even said, he did his whole like, no, I'm serious. No, really. This is the truth.
which
drives me nuts. Yeah, I hate it when he does that.
Towel.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
And he said he did that. Like, no, really, they were. And then he said, like, they came over to my house on Christmas and on the summers. No, they didn't, Joe. No, they didn't. You didn't have Amtrak conductors over here. I have a lot of great friends. They don't come over to my house on Christmas. Like, you didn't bring that. Like, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. You didn't have Amtrak conductors at your house on Christmas morning. Knock it off. But anyway,
yes.
And then he talks about this one particular one named Angelo, who had walked up to him on the train and, like, pinched his cheeks and said, Joey, baby. And he said, like, the Secret Service was going to blow his head off because he's touching the vice president or whatever. And he says that the Angelo guy said, hey, I just read a story in the paper about how you've flown over a million miles on Air Force planes. And it was like, I don't want to read any more about these planes. You know, you stick to the trains, you know, ha ha ha, because he's the Amtrak train guy. Like, you know, don't fly in the plane, be on the trains. And Joe Biden always said that this happened late in his vice presidency. He specifically said in 2015, in his seventh year as vice president, is when this happened, which actually lines up, because in 2015, there was a news story that went out that was put out by Biden's team that he had just flown more than a million miles on Air Force Two. So it's kind of there. That's the story. But the problem is Angelo retired from Amtrak in 1993. And he said that it happened in 2015. He said it happened in 2015. Angelo retired from Amtrak in 1993 and, bless his heart, died in 2014. So the man wasn't, not only did the man not work at Amtrak for over a decade before this happened, he had passed away. And this has been debunked. We've known this for years. He's been telling this story for years. We've known that it's just not true. And he told it again on stage yesterday. What is going on, Crane? There really is.
What is going on?
A mental deficiency.
Well, before the election, he hid in his basement.
Yeah.
And then you have, after the election, you have a really, really bad decision. That's putting it mildly, when it comes to Afghanistan. And then when it comes to the policy of the Ukraine, he says a minor incursion, you know, if it's that, I think will be, you know, he in essence gave the green light to it. And he's, you know, speaking as a somebody like who's on a talking head on a talk show, as opposed as the president of the United States. Now, I must applaud him with one policy that I think he's hit some good points, and that is the Ukraine, but I digress. It is scary to look at a president. And this is, the dream was about that. I was actually reasoning with him and saying, hey, are you really? I didn't have any hostility toward him. I actually was trying to just reason.
What did he say?
And trying to get him.
What did
in.
He say?
He wouldn't. He gave his pad answers once again.
Even
and
in
I said,
your dream?
No, Mr. President, this is not about me and you. Yeah.
Were you okay? Hold on. Were you like speaking to him as a reporter to the president, or were you guys like hanging out at dinner?
He was giving a press conference, but I was doing it more as a group of friends, which I guess is a press conference for him.
Sure. Yeah, that's
the
true.
Idea.
That's true.
About it, and going back and forth and saying, I'm not trying to play gotcha, Mr. President. I just want to know if you're there. And if you're not, how are you making these decisions, and who is making these decisions? Help me, sir.
And he didn't help you?
He did not help me. He did not help me. He did not. And
oh my God! I love it.
I mean, it was clear as day. It was just trying to get him to say, you know, something that would be like, oh, okay, I can see that, and that logically lines up, that's okay. But it wasn't there.
That's great.
There's no.
Have you ever dreamed about the president before? That a first?
I've had not directly talking to him. No.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, I wish I had,
yeah,
you know.
I wish you would have answered the question. I wish you would have answered the question. We might have a little more information. That is Crane Durham from NothingButTruth.com. He is going to stick around. And speaking of presidents and former presidents, the left is having a meltdown after Facebook or Meta has allowed President Donald Trump back on that platform, Facebook and Instagram. Adam Schiff finds that to be, quote, inexplicable. So we'll talk about that here in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Columbo and Katie with Crane Durham on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk SCM.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Welcome back to Columbo and Katie on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. Katie is out today. She'll be back tomorrow. Right now, online with us is Crane Durham from NothingButTruth.com. And Crane, as I mentioned yesterday, the story broke that Democratic Representative Adam Schiff, who's running for Senate, unbelievably, and will probably win, unbelievably, and Senator Sheldon Whitehouse, both Democrats, are demanding answers from Meta on the social media giant's decision to reinstate former President Donald Trump to Facebook and Instagram, slamming the move as inexplicable. In a blog post, the president of global affairs at Meta said Trump's suspension would be lifted in the coming weeks. If you remember, they made a post. When he first got suspended, it was indefinitely. And then Meta announced that it was going to be a 2-year suspension that started in 2021. So now it's 2023. So the 2-year suspension should be coming to an end. And they said that they would, after a period of 2 years, they would they would take another look at the situation and, you know, make a decision from there. And I guess they've made the decision to reinstate him. And the Democrats are flipping out. Adam Schiff and White House wrote a letter to Facebook. Part of it said, quote, how Facebook could reinstate his account given all the additional content on Truth Social that would have likely resulted in a brand new suspension if it were on your platform is inexplicable. Adam Schiff, it wasn't on their platform though, so he didn't break any of their terms and services by putting stuff on his own, so it doesn't have anything to do with their terms of service. Anyway, there's more to this. We'll kind of go through it here in steps, but what are your thoughts about
is it that Trump, the same Adam Schiff who went with the collusion story on Russia that was generated from the loser campaign of one Hillary Clinton? Is that the one? I'm just
That's
curious.
That's the one.
Because it doesn't really make much sense to me that this man would have any credibility, and why is he going to comment on this? Oh, he's going to comment on this because the lifeblood of the Biden and the Democrats campaign are not their policies, because their policies fail, even if they dance in Chicago. Absolute failure.
No doubt.
So they have to go to Donald Trump. You don't want Donald Trump. And talk about Donald Trump. Put him in there. And by the way, the standard, again, we come back to standards. The idea of a standard that is universally understood, it comes down to judgment and what's not, what is misleading and what is not misleading. But going back and circling right back to where we started with Adam Schiff, he's misleading.
Oh, yeah. No, he's a liar is what he is. And Crane, nobody would accuse you or even me as being the biggest Trump fans in the world. I don't, there's plenty of things that he says that I wish that he didn't. However, he is not at the top of the list of the problem children on the internet. It's not like he is like he's set the bar for being the most extreme person on the internet. There's plenty of other people espousing a lot crazier thoughts than Donald Trump on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, you name it.
Yeah, and so true. And the other part to this is if the media really wanted to not silence, but mollify Trump's impact, then they would tell the truth. They would actually report the news. They haven't done that. They gave us a false narrative about cops for years that resulted in less policing, the most vulnerable getting taken advantage of, and mass riots. Mm-hmm. And so they are harmful. The mainstream media is harmful, and they continue to do it because they can't let go. They just can't let go of Trump and their left-wing bias. They just can't do it.
This letter is so unbelievable. These claims that they're making are the demands that they're making of Facebook. And again, I'm not here to defend Facebook. Certainly. Right. I am not a huge Facebook fan, and I'm not a huge Donald Trump fan either. But I mean, you know, there's right and wrong, and there's fairness here. And it's just this letter is just so full of, hypocrisy. It's unbelievable. So listen to this. Another part of this letter. Okay. Schiff and White House also asked Meta to provide a briefing on the company's efforts to uphold election integrity and not allow their platform to be used to spread conspiracy theories and election lies.
Sweet Moses.
Do they owe that? Does any company owe that to the federal government? I didn't know that. But listen, it gets worse.
Yeah.
It goes on to say, quote, "We believe that part of Meta's commitment to election integrity should be ensuring that those who maintain the unfounded, dangerous narrative of the 2020 election are not allowed or encouraged to spread the lie in any form," they wrote. So what kind of lies, Adam, should get you removed? Yeah. Like little fun lies, like Joe Biden used to drive a tractor, or bigger lies like Hunter Biden had a laptop, or Hunter Biden's laptop didn't exist. Either way, he's saying, hey, if somebody's lying on social media, then you should be, you know, they should be removed. Well, there's a whole lot of Democrats. And speak about questioning the results of an election. Hillary Clinton, Stacey Abrams, like,
John Kerry?
Yeah, it's like they don't see that all of the things that they are saying that can be applied to their party so easily.
And it's projection, and that's a big part of being a leftist these days. But I love your libertarian point there about the government coming into a private business and saying you have to say this or not say this.
Or no, give us your info. Give us your policy.
Yes.
Tell us how you do this. Show us how you uphold your policies and how you stop people from spread. Like, show us how show us how the donuts are made. Show us how your business works. Like that. Anytime the federal government is doing things like that, there better be a really good reason why.
Well, the concern over this is the idea that, okay, we don't have faith in our institutions, and we're seeing our institutions be politicized to the detriment of people merely exercising their First Amendment rights. That's freaky, man.
Mm-hmm. Couldn't agree more.
It's causing a huge problem. And whether it's going after somebody who is outside an abortion clinic and just in essence putting 11 years on the table in jail, okay?
Yeah.
Or it is the idea, let's go to Hunter Biden's laptop, because that was a good point you brought out, Tony, once again. 50 national intelligence experts said it was Russian disinformation. So is that not going to be up there?
Yeah.
Is it or
and
not?
And we know that Facebook and Twitter, at the discretion of the Democrats pressuring them to do so, stifled that story, did not report on it. And even it was New York Times that reported that story. It wasn't untrustworthy blog, of somebody.
Well, it was Miranda Devine had the story, and they spiked it at the Post. It was ridiculous.
And if anybody brought it up, the New York Times story, if somebody like me or you retweeted it or commented about it, we would get suspended for talking about a New York Times story because it was deemed to be spreading false information, and it was true all along. And Adam Schiff has the gall to go on and say, hey, anybody caught lying should be kicked off your platform, shouldn't they? You know, if they're spreading misinformation. Holy smokes. The Democrats, and look, Republicans have done it too. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying it's got to be equal. The treatment's got to be equal. So If you want Donald Trump kicked off or somebody else because you think that they're lying about the results of an election, I got a long list of Democrats that need to be kicked off as well.
Yes, and election deniers, as we have called them as of late. Hmm. But when that was going on in 2004 or 2000, it was something altogether okay. And I know the evolution of it, or excuse me, the movements are not matching up specifically, but we do have a double standard in the coverage of these types of arguments, and that's why if you come back, if we're gonna save this republic, right, we're gonna come together and recognize America's the greatest country in the world. That hasn't changed. You can live in the United States better than any other place, and it doesn't matter what color your skin is. You're not a victim. You have opportunity, and you can put it together. It's not always perfect, but it works. And our history is reflective of a nation to live up to its declaration, and we over time have done that. And now we have the bastardization of these movements, like the great civil rights movement, to turn everybody into a victim and have grievances that tear our country apart. It's horrible.
Crane Durham from nothingbuttruth.com. Got a few minutes left here. Crane, you just mentioned police and mm-hmm. some of the things that have sort of weakened the police's ability to do their job, or just soft on crime bills that have I think, and I think that that's what you were alluding to, have hurt Americans over the last couple of years. Wanted to get your thoughts on this story that's happening right here in the city of St. Louis. The city of St. Louis is going to pay nearly $5.2 million to settle claims by several dozen people that police violated their rights during mass arrests at the 2017 Stokely protests. The city has agreed to pay $4.91 million, or about $58,500 per person, to 84 people who were downtown for protests following the acquittal of the former St. Louis police officer, and these protesters were caught up in the police kettle, which has become the hot button word here in St. Louis for the last couple days since this story kind of broke. And they said, you know, so the police would move in on a group of protesters and they would just circle an entire group and arrest the whole group instead of pulling one person out of the crowd here and there and arresting individuals. And they call that kettling. That's the police term that they use for that. And so these people say that they were, they were unlawfully arrested because they were just put in the group of, they were still part of the protesters, obviously, but, you know, like, we weren't doing anything wrong, and just because the person standing next to me was doing something wrong, I wasn't doing something wrong. And now the city is set to pay out over $5 million to settle this suit. And my concern, I just want to get your thoughts on this story, is the next time our city is facing something like this and the police are dispatched to take care of the situation, how much on pins and needles do they have to be about, oh man, we can't cost millions of dollars?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, please.
The point is, you've just empowered the people that have no respect for the law. And because they hide out in the crowd and they say mostly peaceful when things are on fire behind them. You see, I don't understand. If somebody is marching with me in a protest and they are committing acts of terrorism, I end my march. I stop and say, wait a second, I can't be a part of this. I don't want to be connected to this. I don't want to endorse this or empower it by having a crowd around it. And it's very interesting, all those protesters, quote unquote, in the sense that, well, do they have an argument they can win on its merits? No, they don't. So they turn to violence. And I'm talking about the violent protesters, but I'm also talking about the people that are walking with these people and allowing for them to be cloaked in something where an officer that's trying to defend the rule of law and businesses has to make a decision, life and death decisions, and they arrest a group because that's the fastest way to restore order. And then they can sort it out.
I'm all for holding police accountable for bad actions. But but I am very afraid of the repercussions of this deal, because, you know, this is millions of dollars, and I'm sure the next time that there is a protest situation like that in our city, that is going to be taken into account of, you know, hey, we got to be careful when we're out there, instead of being careful to arrest to keep themselves safe and the rest of the city safe and buildings and businesses and citizens safe. They also are going to have to be, very aware of, we got to be careful because we might get sued again, and we can't let that.
Tony, on that point, just two things real quick. One, where is the money coming from these protests? Why are they always showing up with signs already made?
Yeah.
Tell me how that works.
Why are they getting
who's
bust in?
Funding this?
Yeah.
Bust in. And the other is, if they are truly protesting, then they themselves would say, we don't want violence. We're going to abide and comply. Everything we're talking about with police, and there have been absolute transgressions, they can't line those up with statistics because it is the exception, thank God. So they don't have the case that it's institutional. So they go in, and what really bothers me is, hey, when a cop tells me to do something, I do it.
Because
I know they're risking their lives.
Crane, we're almost out of time. It's been pretty intense. I want to end this on a little bit of a lighter note real quick in just about a minute or so. The M&M's situation, it ended up being a big troll job by M&M's. They are keeping the spokes candies. They did the whole thing because it's all surrounding a big Super Bowl commercial that's coming out to, like, reveal the... Katie... I wish she was here today, because we didn't get a chance to talk about this yesterday. We'll talk to Katie about it tomorrow. Katie hates it. She hates this, that they played this game and they got everybody all worked up about woke politics and this and that. Yeah. And I think it was brilliant because it's got everybody talking. Look, I think it's corny and it makes me roll my eyes, certainly. But if you're looking to make an impact with advertising and get your name out there, I think this is actually a pretty good move by
the first goal is to get attention. Right?
Yeah, right.
The first goal is to get attention.
Yeah.
Now, I don't, bringing all this stuff up, I'm just more frustrated that when people are actually in these debates are being had, and when somebody tries to speak up in them, they're called a phobe of some kind.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they
over candy.
Are looking to silence them. What's that?
Over candy. I just think that at the end of the day, and like I said, we'll talk to Katie about it a little bit tomorrow, because she was talking with Tim and Chris yesterday. She hated it. I actually think it was a pretty good move by M&M's to work everybody up. And it really did shine a light on what you're saying, Crane, how silly and how far gone we unfortunately are on so many of these issues. Crane Durham, really appreciate your time. As always, every Tuesday, Crane joins Katie and I here on the show. And you can always follow him also at nothingbuttruth.com. Any quick update happening there?
Just contact Crane. Tell me what you think. To go to the website. You can go to the Facebook. You can go to the Twitter at nothingbuttruth. And I just want to say that Joey V and Tony Colombo, thank you.
Thank you.
I love being with you all.
We love being with you, Crane, and look forward to talking to you next week. And as always, thanks for your time this afternoon, my friend. Talk
absolutely.
To you soon.
Absolutely. Love you, buddy. Take care.
Back at you.
Bye-bye.
All right. That is Crane Durham again. Nothingbuttruth.com to keep up with everything that Crane is working on, and make sure that you are listening every Tuesday here to Colombo and Katie as we are joined by Crane. Coming up in just about 20 minutes from now, we're going to talk to Lenny Mink. He is the brand new owner and executive director at the Westport Playhouse. That is where there are some fantastic live local music shows happening this weekend that I will be a part of. And we're going to talk about those shows. We're going to talk about the reopening of that great venue, Westport Plaza, with Lenny Mink. And in just a moment, we are going to be joined by Michael Proctor, owner of Proctor Drapery. I'm going to have a great conversation with Michael in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Colombo and Katie on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Welcome back to Columbo and Katie on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. Tony Columbo here with producer Joey V. Katie is out today. She had some baby issues to take care of, some mama issues to take care of, and she will be back with us tomorrow, so looking forward to that. As I mentioned, joining us in studio now is Michael Proctor, one of the great local business owners and one of the great supporters and sponsors of us here at News Talk STL. And it's the first time I've had a chance to talk to you, Michael, live on the radio, so it's great to see you. Thanks for coming in this afternoon.
Yeah, and it's great to be here and see you and tell Katie I said hi.
I will. Absolutely. She's upset that she couldn't be in today, but the new baby, I think, was feeling a little sick, so she wanted to make sure that everything was all right, and she'll be back in tomorrow. So, Proctor Drapery is one of those, you guys have one of the classic St. Louis commercial jingles. The spell Proctor like doctor, like that is one of the, like, really? It is just one of the great, like, it just gets in your head. It just, it's like the perfect advertising. I think that's what, like, companies strive for. And I love to just, whenever we get a chance to talk to business owners on the air here, I just like to hear how things like that came about, how that famous jingle came about, how you found yourself in this industry, how the business was built. Just share with us some of that stuff about Proctor Drapery and how it came to be.
Well, I started doing this when I was 14 years old. In the summer of 1964, I was, working at, like, selling newspapers and working at a gas station and a soda jerk at Totes Big Boy. And my uncle, he took me up to Iowa with him. He did draperies and shades, things like that. And we were gone for about a week to 10 days in Iowa. And then I just started doing drapery installation and helping him once in a while.
Yeah.
And so then I just worked for other companies and him and other companies through high school, through college, all through college. I worked on the weekends to help pay my way through college. And after I graduated college, I spent a couple years, not even 2 years, maybe a year and a half working full time for somebody. And then I got the brilliant idea when I was 23 years old that I could make money on my own.
Yeah.
Which you can't when you're 20. I just bought a house and my wife was pregnant and I quit my job. It was a big mistake, but it worked out. It worked out. So that was January 1st, 1974.
Wow.
I was 23 and a half years old and I started Proctor Drapery.
That's incredible. What an incredible, I love those origin stories, you know, those backgrounds of how these great local businesses have came to exist. Tell them, for people that have maybe never used your service and they have a generic sort of thing in mind, you know, drapery and blinds and shutters and things like that, but tell us a little bit about, you know, what you insist when it comes to service and your products at Proctor Drapery to try to set yourself apart.
Well, I insist that it's that I go into the house and pick out the right things, the right colors, the right textures, the right product, the right operation to serve the customer's needs. And I do that because I have control of all that in the proper measurements. But then it's just like anything else, it's got to be installed properly. Mm-hmm. So I do the installation myself.
Yeah.
Now, I do have helpers, but I'm there, you know, basically doing the installation.
Yeah.
Because this is a technical business. Well, it's detail, or it's not technical so much as it is detail oriented.
Yeah.
And I'm a detail.
But that's important.
And I'm a detail person.
Yeah.
I'm
that's
a detail
really
person.
Important. So where did, who wrote the jingle? Who wrote the Proctor like Dr. Jim? Where'd that come from?
Well, here's how. There was a sales rep here named Sarah LeMaster. Back about 12 years ago.
I used to work with Sarah.
And
great person.
You know, I was going to advertise, put my phone number on the radio. She said, "You don't want to use your phone number. You have your website."
Yeah.
So you'll have to say, we have to make sure people spell Proctor right. So we'll say Proctor like doctor. And I thought, boy, that's really corny. That's stupid. You know what I mean? She says, so that when they Google you, I go, what? She goes, Google. I didn't know what the hell Google was, you know.
Well, 12 years ago, this is pretty ahead of the curve stuff. Yeah.
So, no, it was 2010. So anyway, I just did a job for Sarah, by the way. I did a shade for her.
That's great.
But anyway, so I was Proctor, spelled like doctor, and it worked great. And people started honking at me on the road and that, and, you know, laughing at me. Hey, Proctor like doctor, this and that, right? So I thought, well, that's a good thing. That's really good.
It sticks.
So I tried to write a jingle. I couldn't. And believe it or not, one night, my wife gets up at 3 in the morning, you know, and wrote it down. She said it came to her in a dream. This jingle.
Yeah, the jingle, yeah.
She wrote it.
That's
and
great.
And then my cousin's in California. He's actually a really fantastic musician. He plays with Dean Torrance of Jan and Dean.
Oh,
he
yeah.
plays with the people from the Beach Boys. There's different Beach Boy bands in that.
Uh-huh.
And he recorded it.
Wow.
And so that's who you hear. That's my cousin.
So you had the musician.
Donnie.
Yeah, you had the musician, and then the wife wrote it. See, that's the kind of.
But she wrote it. I couldn't write it, but she actually wrote it. She did it.
That's fantastic. So ProctorDrapery.com is obviously the website.
Right.
Proctor like doctor. Nobody will ever forget that. Before we run out of time, anything else that we should remind people of? Do you have social media channels, anything like that? Anything that's happening right now, because what I love about this radio station and this audience and what's important to me and so many of us is to support the local businesses that have in your that like that backstory, you know, the time and effort that you have put in to grow, you know, a lot of people want to support those types of businesses. So anything else we need to know about Proctor Drapery?
Well, just if you call me, I come out to the house. I'm real good at picking out product and helping you pick out product, and people just love what I do for them because I do a good job. It's hard to find people to come to your home that are really experts in what they do.
Well, you
and do a good job, and I focus on that.
You wouldn't be doing it as long as you had if you weren't good at it, because you wouldn't be around. You wouldn't have made it this far. So,
right. And I love my work. You know, I really like doing it.
Yeah.
So
that speaks
that
for
helps.
Itself. That absolutely speaks for itself. Michael Proctor, the owner of Proctor Drapery. Proctor spelled like doctor. If you need drapery, blinds, shutters, anything in that area, go to ProctorDrapery.com and use this great local business. Michael, thanks so much for coming.
Can I sing the... Are you done? Can I sing
the... You got about 10 seconds. Go ahead.
I got 10 seconds?
Yes.
Proctor Drapery, the best in town. No finer window fashion can be found. Call for an appointment at your home. Spell Proctor like doctor.
I love it. Thank you so much, Michael. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't go anywhere.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.